Good morning, everybody. So good to see you all, to be gathering together today. My name is Patrick Bicknell. I am the location pastor here in Walled Lake. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Psalm 23. We're going to be in Psalm 23 today. I just want to highlight a couple things real quick. If you saw how nice our building looks, that nice fresh mulch, give a round of applause for those who came and helped out. It was great. Although it made me realize I really need to get in the gym. My back is like killing me. I'm like, all I did was wheelbarrow some mulch. What is going on? It was a great time yesterday. So thankful for those who helped out just to care for our building. We also have going on, which is another awesome thing about being one church, nine locations. We have a baby pantry that meets here every Tuesday night where we get to, amen. We get to help families, get supplied with baby needs. We do that every single week. Those who are a little bit less fortunate than us, we have to love them and care for them. But across our nine locations, we're doing a diaper and wipe drive. So we would encourage you, if you would like to give to that, you can bring them to our guest services desk and help us support them. But I just think it's really cool that across all our locations, Oakland and Genesee County, we have nine or eight other locations that are helping us love the community and love people. And it just reminded me this week how much of a blessing the church is. I am just so thankful for you. I'm so thankful to be a part of what God is doing here. And I want to encourage you to be a part of that. There's a lot of amazing things going on right now. There are people being saved. There's people being baptized. We're seeing new people come. We have amazing opportunities coming up. So I would very much encourage you to be a part of that in your giving and in your serving, in your talents. We would love for you to be connected here and to be pushing forward the gospel with us as we love our community and tell them about Jesus. So we're in Psalm chapter 23. I want to read it for us real quick before we dive into it. One of my favorite psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And I just pray this morning that you would help us to see you. Help us to see you in this psalm. Clear us of any distractions. Clear us of anything that's going on in our life right now. Help our minds and our hearts to be attentive to what you want us to hear. I pray that as I preach, it's your words, not mine. And that is your spirit who is working through me, penetrating hearts, leading us to repentance, leading us to a closer love and relationship with you. God, we love you so much. And we pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. So such an amazing psalm that we are diving into today as we are continuing through our psalm series. So I just want to read that first verse again because this is where we start. This is our foundation for the rest of these verses that we're going to dive into today. We can't go any further without first understanding this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So as we're going to do with all the psalms as we go through this series, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, we are going to center it on Christ. So the lens through which we're going to read these psalms, our hermeneutics here, right, how we interpret these passages is going to be through the lens of Jesus. Because Jesus said it's all about him. The scriptures attest to him, they push to him, they point to him. It is all about Jesus. So what we're going to do as we go through these psalms, we're going to center it on Christ. Now, Psalm 1, a few weeks ago, we talked about how Jesus is our righteousness. We cannot work and do enough box checking and trying our hardest to fulfill these verses. We need Jesus to be our righteousness. Last week, Matt Montgomery came and did a wonderful job teaching about how Christ is prophesied in Psalm 22, how he went to the cross for us. An amazing psalm. I'd encourage you to listen to it. It's on our website. It was a great sermon. And now here we get to an encouraging psalm. And I really hope that you were encouraged this morning. Now, if I'm going to be fully honest and transparent, I prayed a lot this week about just trying to be encouraging. Because I don't feel like I'm the best encourager. I think in my like football mindset, to me, I'm just like, tell me what I'm bad at so I can get better. I don't really need the fluff. That's all I care about. But I'm not great at encouraging, so I'm Lord, please help me to be encouraging this morning. And I really hope for you this psalm is, because it is such an encouraging psalm. Now we, as we read this, as we're about to jump into this, we are centering it on Jesus, because we got to start there, because the rest of the psalm, what we read, the encouragement of it, the blessing of it, the promises of it, they will only be an encouragement to you if that first part is true, which is if the Lord is your shepherd. That's where we start. We start with Jesus. We center it on Christ. If Jesus is not your shepherd, your Lord, the rest of this doesn't matter. We have to start here. Start with that question. That's what I want to pose for you this morning. And I want you to think through that. Because how you answer this question is dependent on how you read the rest of the psalm. It's our foundation. It's what the rest of it is built off of. Is the Lord your shepherd? Everything else hinges on that question. And that's what we say every single week. We are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't move past the gospel. We don't have any. The gospel is everything. Every week we are going to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we start there. Is he your shepherd? See, Jesus in the book of John shares multiple I am statements. I encourage you to go through and study them this week. But he shares an I am statement in John chapter 10 that I think directly ties to this psalm. And so if you want to kind of make a bookmark in John 10, I'm going to be flip-flopping between John 10 and Psalm 23 this morning. But in John chapter 10, I think he speaks into this psalm so directly. And Jesus, with these I am statements in verse 11 and then 14 through 15, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 14 through 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Listen to how Christ says that. I am the good shepherd. I'm not one of many. I'm not one of options. He's saying there's only one true life. There's only one true shepherd to follow, and there is no other besides Jesus. There's so many religions, so many worldly mindsets, philosophies that are saying, follow us. We're the way to true life. Follow the fame. Follow the money. Follow these religions. But there's only one shepherd. There's only one good shepherd. And that's what Jesus says. I am the good shepherd. And he proves it how? By saying, I lay down my life for the sheep. You know what is so amazing about that? Every other religion in the world. How can you get to God? What can I do? What way of living? What beliefs do I have? How I can work to get to God. But Christianity is the one religion where God comes to us. Where Jesus, the Son of God, seeing we are the sinners. We have rejected him and there's nothing we could do to earn his love. But God in his great love for us sends his Son, lives perfectly, dies on the cross for his sheep, is buried, and rises again. That's the Savior that we worship. And that's the shepherd we need to be following. He's the only way. And we can't go any further in this psalm without addressing that question. So again, I ask you, is he your shepherd? Is Christ your shepherd? This psalm's of no benefit if first you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus as the good shepherd. See what he has done for you. Hear of his great love. He laid his life down for you because he loves you so much, and there's nothing you could give him to earn that love. But the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Will his sacrifice count for you? Will his finished work be applied to you? Or ultimately, in the end, will you pay for your sins for eternity? I'd encourage you to respond today. The best thing you can do in your life today is to see Jesus as lifted up on a cross, crucified for you, risen again, and give your life to him. Today, everything can change for you, and all of what we're going to study here in Psalm could be yours. And if this is true for you, whether in this moment or you've done it before and you've been following the Lord for a long time, then it is true for you what the next part of that verse says. You shall not want. Now, it's not a desire thing. It's not talking about you'll have no desires ever again in your life if you follow Jesus. But rather, the way that word is should be translated is you will have no need in your life. You shall lack nothing. You shall not be insufficient in anything in your life if you follow the good shepherd. And we're going to read how that is true through the rest of this psalm. So continuing on, verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So I see three things in the rest of this psalm that I think the Lord as our shepherd leads us to and leads us through. Three things as we see him guiding us as our shepherd, as the one who goes before us, leading us in all areas of our life. Now David, as he wrote this in the Middle East. So we're talking the Judean wilderness, and I'm no geographer or anything like that, but I think I know there's not much a lot of, you know, green grass out there, right? We're talking desert, we're talking hills, rocky terrain. Again, I know scientists, but I think I know that much. And so as I was studying this week, I just looked at it and I kept thinking, right? This is a reoccurring theme in the Bible. The Lord is our shepherd, commonly used. And the only question I can have is, how the heck is there shepherds with sheep in the Middle East? Doesn't make any sense to me. What are we doing with sheep out here? Well, it's not necessarily the West. We got grass all over the place, or Europe, right? How is this possible? So I did the very intellectual thing. Typed into Google, how is there shepherds in the Middle East? This is all I can. Like, how is this even possible? So I found this article and just kind of explained how the shepherds do their job. And I think it's so amazing. So it began by saying that the shepherds each day, where they're at with their sheep, wherever their home would be, the shepherds would take their flock. Again, they have to go through rocky terrain, sandy areas, meadows. You have to go and search for them. You have to go and find them. And so the shepherds would go in front of their flock each day and lead them. Whereas in the West, you got sheepdogs, right? Got these big areas of grass. The sheepdogs corral the flock and they lead them. But here in the Middle East, the shepherds need to go ahead of the sheep. They need to be the ones leading them. And as I thought about how does that happen? So the article continues, goes on. And the shepherds do something that's so interesting. Every few minutes, the shepherd just gives up the same little call. The same call that the sheep would recognize, they would hear, and they would know, I'm following my shepherd. It's so amazing. Going through these rocky terrain, valleys. The shepherd's looking for the meadows for these sheep to be grown on, sustained on, fed on. He would just give a call. And the shepherd would lead his flock in this way, and the sheep would know the shepherd's voice. I thought it's so wonderful. We get that imagery of sort of a rod and a staff. And I used to think, right, maybe they do this a little bit, but as I was reading the article, they said the good shepherds, they don't use the rod and staff and just hit the sheep, like, get on. Get going where you need to go. So I thought they did. But rather, they use their rod and their staff ahead of the sheep and defend them as the first line of defense against wild animals, against threats that may be harmful to the sheep. The shepherd stands in front of them, goes before them, leads them, and the sheep hear the shepherd's voice and follow the shepherd. That's what Jesus does for us. And John 10:4 says the same thing. Jesus, again, speaking about it. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What a beautiful imagery. And you know what I think is also amazing about that? It's not like God stumbled upon shepherds and thought, that's a great sermon illustration. Let me use that illustration, how these people do their job, to show people how much I love and care for them. The God we believe in has created everything. All truth flows from him. There's nothing outside of what he knows, what he's created, and what he's given. And I truly believe he has given shepherds and the knowledge of shepherds in this area to do it in this way so that he can show us. That's how he leads us. That's how he's our good shepherd. I think that's just so wonderful. Like, God gave this role of shepherds in this area to give a picture of how much he loves and leads us. How amazing. I just like in this passage, as we think about him leading us, listen to the certainty of these phrases. He makes, he leads, he restores, he leads me in, you are with me, you prepare, you anoint my head, I shall be in the house of the Lord forever. There's no maybe in those phrases. There's no uncertainty. He doesn't say, this is a possibility that I might lead you. He says, no, if you follow me as shepherd, if Christ is your shepherd, if the Lord is your shepherd, guess what? It is a certainty that he will lead you in everything. It is a certainty that he will lead you here to these meadows to sustain you, to grow you, to strengthen you, to draw him closer to himself. He will lead you to sustaining meadows, fresh green pastures, still waters, restoration for your souls, paths of right living. He will do that. And what I think is great, again, about this imagery and where David's writing this, again, he's not writing this in the midst of an unending meadow. He writes this in an area where meadows are sparse. Sometimes there's deserts and valleys we go through, but the Lord leads us all the same. And I believe a couple of practical ways that he does this. There's many ways, but a couple of practical ways I thought about this morning. First, I think he leads us through his word. Through the written word of God given to us as instructions to lead us in our life. And every time you read it, he is leading you to this meadow of fresh green grass to sustain you, to grow you, to give you what you need to follow him. He also does that with the preaching of the word of God. That's why it is so important for us that we get good, Bible-saturated, gospel preaching every single week. The Bible calls pastors shepherds. And that's how I view myself, as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd we all follow. But under-shepherds, like, what my main role here to do is to go here every week, study this word, and lead you to these green pastures as God has entrusted you to me, his flock. God uses faithful pastors to lead his flock to these sustaining meadows. He also does through his grace, reminders of the gospel. Every day, waking up through the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing his grace is unending. His grace is a never-ending fount that flows right from the cross, and it will never dry out. There will never be a drought for us receiving his grace. So we're reminded every day what Jesus has done for us. Reminded of this grace, this immense, amazing grace shown to us in Jesus, and there's nothing better than it. I think, again, also the church. I think the Lord uses the body of believers, faithful saints, to build up and encourage and lead his flock. Faithful saints through their time, through their giving of money, talents, whatever it is, to build up each other, leading us to these green pastures. And he does it all for his name's sake. Now that could be a whole other sermon in itself. But just very quickly, he does this all for his glory. It's the purpose of everything. Everything was made for his glory. Everything moves to his glory. And the beauty of that is we, as his sheep, get to share in that, participate in that, and praise it forever. Such a beautiful picture. But continuing on, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I think other than John 3:16, right, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Other than that verse, I think this might be the most known verse in the Bible. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, as the King James puts it, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. This is read at deathbeds. It's read at funerals. As people are approaching glory, and this life here on earth is coming to an end, oftentimes this verse is the one that's read, this psalm. Maybe you've read it in times of struggle. I shared a few weeks ago how for me, this psalm has been so impactful in times when I feel my lowest. And for good reason, this psalm is read in those times. Because perhaps there's no greater assurance in the Bible than these four words. You are with me. Perhaps there's no greater assurance. What more do we need? No matter what we're going through in this life, no matter what attacks may come to us, the promise and the assurance here, I think, gives so much encouragement. You are with me. Because remember, who do the sheep follow? The sheep follow the shepherd and his voice. And as they walk through this valley, it says the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't just mean death, although that implies it as well. But it's rather translated this pitch deep darkness of a valley that the sheep are going through, meaning they have no idea what is ahead of them. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. No idea what animals may be coming to attack, what flash floods may be coming to that valley. They are in the midst of deep pitch darkness. And fear so easily surrounds us in those moments. But who do the sheep follow? The shepherd. The sheep can't see in this valley. And oftentimes when you're going through a valley, I know because I felt it too, you can't see anything. No hope. How am I going to get through this? What do we listen to in those moments? What do we use to get out of that valley and to be sustained through that valley? His voice. The shepherd's voice. And the truth that he is with us. You may be in that valley this morning. You may be approaching that valley. Maybe you know something that's coming up. And that darkness is coming closer and closer and closer. And maybe right now you're stuck in that valley. You wouldn't just say you're in it. You have been in this valley for as long as you can remember. Maybe it's a cancer diagnosis that you or a loved one got. And the sad effects of the fall are broken bodies. Maybe your marriage is falling apart and no one knows it. Going through such immense struggle in that area. Maybe you're dealing with wayward children where your prayer is soaked with tears and a broken heart every day, praying and hoping that they would just see Jesus. Beautiful. Maybe you've lost your job. You're wondering, how am I going to pay the bills? Whatever it may be. Maybe you're in that valley and you're saying, where is the hope? How am I going to get out of this? I don't see no light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know how far this valley is going to go. What am I going to do? Where is my hope in this moment? Maybe it's depression, anxiety, stress that is eating you alive. And to your very core, you are wondering, how do I get out of this valley? What do I do in the midst of this darkness? You run back to the promises of Scripture. You don't go to your feelings. You don't go to your heart because the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can understand it? You go back to the promises, the foundation of the Scripture, which is this: have no fear. He is with you. You need not fear anything because the God of the universe who died on the cross for you while you were a sinner is with you now. There's nothing we need to fear. Run back to these promises and know they apply to you not because you go to church. They apply to you not because you've prayed hard enough or you've done enough good things. They apply to you only because Jesus finished the work. Because the good shepherd laid his life down for you. He accomplished it. And so now and forever, all the promises of the word, all the promises we get here are ours forever. He says it in John 10:28, an amazing verse. He says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. What greater assurance do we need? What better truth? What more encouraging thought that even in the midst of pitch deep darkness, we can't see nothing? We're in the hands of God, and nothing will snatch us out of his hands. I'm reminded of Romans 8, 30-31, around there, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? If he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? That's the promise we have in the midst of a valley, in the midst of the hardest times and struggles of our life. Jesus is with us. You have nothing to fear. Not even death. Not death for you or your loved ones. Romans 8, 38-39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What an encouraging truth. And Charles Spurgeon wrote, speaking on this verse, observe that it is not walking in the valley that this verse says, but through the valley. We go through the dark tunnel of death and emerge into the light of immortality. We do not die, but we sleep to wake in glory. Death is not the house, but the porch. Not the goal, but the passage to it. Death is something we all must go through. But for us who put our faith in Jesus, it's not the end, it's just the beginning. And when we pass through that valley, we will be with him forever in glory. And it leads us to this last part, verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This last part, I think he leads us to glory. Now David, again, as he's the author of this psalm, as he wrote this, when kingdoms would go to battle, they fight against one another, when the victor won, that king would host a victory feast right there in front of his foes. And so as I was reading this, some commentary said that this part where it says, in the presence of my enemies, it's actually in the presence of defeated enemies. Because the kings, they would host this feast. And in the midst of their defeated foes, because it needed to be a public event, they would celebrate in front of everyone, we have won. And I believe this psalm is a picture of the victory feast we are going to partake of one day with Christ in glory. And I believe it was prophesied in Isaiah 25, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all the nations. Now, who are we going to celebrate in this moment? Which foe defeated are we going to celebrate over in this moment? It is this next verse. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. This is the destination that we are led to. This is our hope and our promise that we are going to experience one day, and that all the pain, all the struggle, all the toil of this life, the fighting with sin, the cancers, the diseases, the hurt, all of it is going to lead to this one day when the Lord returns and we see him in glory, and forever we are going to celebrate the victory feast of the Messiah. Over his victory over death. And together we will sing what 1 Corinthians 15 says. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death, man's greatest enemy, that all must go through, none can escape, but one day it'll be finished forever because Jesus defeated it on the cross. And one day we're going to partake of this feast and we'll be praising his glory, singing, oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? No more tears, no more pain, no more dark valleys. Because the place that we will be in will have the Lord's light shining on it all the days of our life. As we wrap up, I hope this psalm was an encouragement for you. I hope this psalm is an encouragement for you. That no matter what you're going through in your life right now, you may be in the midst of that valley, deep, dark, scary, fearful of your own life, fearful of the life of your loved ones. If I can encourage you to do one thing, pray this psalm. You don't need to expound on it. You don't need to dive into all the intricacies of the theology. Just go to the Word and pray this over your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My prayer for us as a body of believers is that we would trust our shepherd more and more. That no matter where you're at with your walk in the Lord, whether it's been the last 30 minutes or the last 30 years, that your trust in the Lord would strengthen through these words. That your faith in the Lord would strengthen through the promises of Scripture. And that we as a body of believers, collectively, we would be growing in our trust in the Lord, united in it. That we would be an encouragement to each other when times are tough. That we would be able to go to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in those valleys, who are in those struggles. And we can look at them and say with full confidence and full assurance, our shepherd is good. Our shepherd goes before us. Our shepherd leads us. He will provide. Have no fear, because he is with you. And again, I also pray for those of you in here that if you haven't surrendered yet, that you would do so today. My hope and prayer and my plea is that the Lord would be your shepherd. Doesn't matter how long you've been playing the church game, how many times you've come in a church building, if you've never surrendered to Jesus, confessed in your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, if you haven't done that yet, today, this morning, surrender to him. He is your everything. And then all these promises and these blessings would apply to you, and one day you'll be with the saints partaking in this victory feast, singing and shouting, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And I thank you so much for the words and the promises in your scripture, for the encouragement they are to me, that I praise and encouragement for so many people here. And I want to pray this morning that all of us in here, whether for the first time or for the thousandth time, that we would continue to follow you as shepherd, because you are good. You guide us, you lead us, you call out to us. You are with us in the midst of evil and darkness, and you will be with us forevermore. Pray for the saints in here who may be brokenhearted, that your Holy Spirit would encourage them this morning, that you would remind them that you love them so much that you laid your life down for them. Lord, there's no greater truth, there's no greater encouragement. I just pray that our hearts, every day of our life, would be singing over this victory of death that you accomplished, praising you for your glory. Father, we love you so much. And we pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.